The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Amen. Today, as the Lord has put in my heart, it's just a moment of beginning to encourage us and to prepare us for what God is going to do. And I will read from the book of Titus, chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but at in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Amen. It's clear that many of the things that these apostles did is not outside the revelations or the teachings or the unveiling that God gave to them concerning His Son Jesus Christ. So you're going to see the word things like according, because to Paul is committed the full package of the wisdom of appearing of the Son of God. The Son of God is a personality, but what Jesus has come to do is to demystify God, is to unveil God to us, to make God seen. And one of the things about Him is that He has been made wisdom. He has been made the know-how, the details of God from beginning to the end. The end of Christ is God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The end of Christ, the head. I say the end, the head of Christ is God. That's, you're going to find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. The same way the end of Christ is God. But Christ unveils God from the earthly dimension to the heavenly dimension. He unveils the full stature of God. Hallelujah. The God of Yahweh, God of Israel, which they have been related with. They knew Him as God who is there. But it's not a God that can be demystified or can be known. It's not a God that you can know, relate with in the manner that you want to be like Him. You can relate with Him in the manner of He wants to bless you. He wants to advance. You want to, you know, when he had covenant with Abraham, with their fathers, it was a lot of mercy that God is having covenant, agreement with man for certain things to be done. Amen? But it's not after the manner that they will have to inherit God. No, it's not after that manner. So Jesus came to bring us to God. Amen? So you find out that for the apostles, or for the earlier ones who believed before Paul, they relate much more with Christ as a total person, not being revealed as the wisdom or the manner or the ladder that He is to God. When I say ladder, means the more you climb it, the more you are reaching towards. Is that not? It's like you have a... Okay, I gave sometimes ago an example of someone who had an experience of glory. And in the experience, She was staying at the base of a mountain. So all of a sudden, she found herself on the top of the mountain. And she was basking in the euphoria, word and spread of glory. And the same moment, they took her from that top of the mountain to the base of the mountain on that side. And what he saw there is not just a mountain that slipped down this way, that you cannot climb, but a step that led from the base of the mountain to its top. And he heard a voice, climb this through this path. So Jesus Christ is the ladder or the step from the base of the mountain to the top of the mountain. Amen? Amen. It means that when you are taking step up the mountain, you will know you are climbing. So every step you take in the Spirit in Christ Jesus is a progress to God. And that's who Jesus Christ is. Is to us the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father. I said, I mean, so he is the way, or he is the ladder. Call me the ladder of Jacob. Is the ladder. Is the sanctuary. Is the tabernacle. Is the way to the holiest of all. So either you lie it down or you raise it up. It's the same. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, it was laid down. So men were entering. In the New Testament, it's laid up. Because the way actually to the up is to the walk, to walk. When you walk in, you are going up. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you are asked to walk in the Spirit, you are climbing in the Spirit. So your way to the top is in your practice or walk or the step by step you take every day in the pathway of life. Hallelujah. So I was saying that to Paul was given the wisdom to unveil the step by step to the top of the mountain. Amen. So you can see there is an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. So when you see Paul fighting for the faith, he's an apostle according to the faith. I was describing the faith as not just faith, it's the faith of God's elect. But there are all kinds of faith. There are faiths that move mountains. There are faith for all kinds of what they call exploit. But he was saying my apostleship is according to this particular. So when you err from this faith, to me, you have done a major wrong. Which is and the acknowledging of the fruit, which is after godliness. Fruit, which is after godliness. Number verse 2, in hope. So, if anyone says, I'm going for the hope of God's life, which is the promise that God has promised those who believe. He didn't promise the world, he promised those who believe. He promised them, he gave them this hope as the hope of their life, as the hope that Christ became, the hope that Christ inherited. He inherited life. He became the author of life. He becomes the author. As an author means the source. That life became, it was the first owner. It's the first one who owned the life. It's the life of deity that a man owned. And he has the right only to by him to give to anyone that come to him. So when you come to Jesus, the greatest gift he has for you is what the Father gave to him. And that gift that the Father gave to him is eternal life. This is the best thing he can give to anyone. Amen. Amen. If he gives a car, he feels has not given a good gift. But when he gives eternal life, he has given a gift that's of the Father's love. Anyone that the Father loves, he gives that kind of life to. Amen. Amen. Which God? Hallelujah. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but at in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me. So you can discover that that word of life, or the word of that this word which Paul said manifested, came gradually. It didn't come at once. It was not one time that the whole message came. It was delivered to them part by part until the word fully came. The word fully came to us in today. The word has fully come to us. But to them it was manifested in times. It was due times. God took time. That's what they meant by when he would send Jesus. For times of refreshing. He will send Jesus. So how he has sent his son. That's why he has preached already. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1. God who at sorry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers. What has he done in these days? It's not just he has spoken. He has sent his word. He has spoken. So we are speaking what he has spoken. Amen. That's why nobody can concur any message of by himself anymore. Since Jesus has been fully revealed through preaching. Can you see that? Jesus has been fully preached. How was he preached? He was preached through the apostles. He has been fully preached. So what we are doing today is by spirit, preaching what they have preached. In the way they have preached it. That is because we must realize this very hope. The hope must not fail. It's the only thing that heaven is owing us. It's the only thing that heaven has for us. And this hope must not fail. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So today, I just see there that, you know, a lot of things there are like constants. When you get to, let me read to us from 1 Timothy. Paul gave some instructions in verse 11, chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. He was emphasizing things that are very, very important to us. Amen. If you're going to check through 2 Peter again, let's check through 2 Peter. Chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Verse 4. Okay, 3 says, according as his divine power was given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence at your faith. Can you read with me, please? Your faith, what? Virtue to virtue. Knowledge to knowledge. Temperance to temperance. To patience. And to godliness. And to righteousness, charity. For if these things be in you, I see a array of things that are needful for us to embrace to ensure that we make progress this year. But as I look at that, I'm going to see the reference each time to godliness. See, in verse 3 it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and what? Then he was listing against, add to your faith this and that. See, add to temperance what? Patience. And to patience what? But he has called us and has given all things that pertain to life. So godliness is a major point in our travel to life. What did I say? Come on, say it again. Let me hear you better, please. We need faith. We need patience. We need faith. We need meekness. We need temperance. Can you see? We need knowledge. But with all of that one, in the old travel, you are going to reach a bus stop of your travel to life, which is called the bus of godliness. Godliness. You know, Jesus himself did not teach all of these things one by one. You know that? He was unveiling mysteries of the kingdom to them, mysteries of life, but he didn't actually quite, you know, he taught in the Beatitudes. He taught the keys of the kingdom. What are the keys of the kingdom? Blessed are the pure in heart, poor in the spirit, those who thirst for righteousness, all of that, mourn, all of that, you know, meek, all of that. He taught them. But to the apostles, he taught them, he unveiled further. Because the things inside this is more than those congealed things he taught in the Gospels. Amen. The Gospel is congealed. So when people say, I want to stay in the Gospel, I don't want to stay in the Epistle, you are wasting time. The Epistle is more detailed than the Gospel. The Gospel is congealed. They are blocked teachings because it's not time for knowledge. Amen. Praise God. It's time for repentance. It's time for us to know that you are wrong. And you change your side. It's not a time for you to have full knowledge. The church is the one who God gave the grasp of full knowledge to. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So I see there the issue of godliness coming to play. And I said, what about this? That Paul insists for us that the truth that will come to us in this year, we must be after godliness. So godliness is an attainment. Amen. What I say? Godliness is an attainment in the spirit, in the journey to life. Nobody will ever inherit eternal life if he has not attained to the to godliness. Nobody, if you are not going to remember anything tonight, remember there's nobody who attained to eternal life without godliness. And you remember eternal life is not something you attain in heaven. Is it something you attain on earth, but it's a crowning? It's a crowning. It's that you have walked through the syllabus of life according to. And so the spirit on the earth here, the powers on the earth here, are not going to allow you to go through that journey like that. That's why people drop out along the line. They drop out. There are things that makes people drop out. It's not that they by themselves they want to drop out. They just find out that they don't have enough energy anymore to press on. And the spirit of the earth, the powers of Satan, is designed to ensure that no man. So even when there's need for us to pray for nations, to pray for our leaders, Paul gave us instruction on why we should pray for them. Is that we may live peaceably in all, can you see? That we may live peaceably in all godliness and honesty. It's not just to be honest naturally. To be honest to our confession. Check it out. I think that should be Timothy. Praise God. I saw therefore, that's 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in what? And honesty. So it's not just like having a godly character. That's not, we have taught before that godliness means having a godly character. Where it's character, but it's not just character of just a behavioral character. It's a state of the soul in which the soul is mastering the way of life. The soul must master. The soul must come to a point when it's at rest. It has mastered and is at rest with what he has learned in God. You know, praise God. Are we in the house? Look at that place. Amen. There are many things we do in life that we do them because we want result. For example, you go to school, you learn engineering. Not because you care about engineering. You care about, number one, what You will earn from engineering. Is it not? You care about the societal class that you belong to in engineering. Is that not true? Huh? But to you, when they define engineering, it is the product of engineering or the position of an engineer that makes you care to become one. So you can do all of that, and when they check you in your inner court of the house, that thing is not in you. It's not in you. And when they check you in your inner court, it's like somebody who's acting in a play. Either he has masked in all the play, demonstrated. When he finished with the play, you see as if he's delivered. He off the sin from him. And it's like, wow, I can be myself. Amen. It's terrible. So, the way we have lived our life and the way we grew up and the world we live in is a world where we find ourselves solving problems. Every day, when you solve a problem, new one appears. To a way that you can get used to reading Bible to solve your problem. Amen. Can I get way to pray to solve a problem? It's like, if you don't pray, nothing gets solved. So, every day you are praying is directed towards solving your problem. And the way you know that your prayer is being heard is to see the effect of your prayer in the problem you are solving. Do you get what I'm saying? This issue is terrible. It's like, one of the days I was going on the way and I saw a place that put a mountain of solution. Don't laugh, because the issues in that place is serious. The issue that calls for solution in our life is serious. So it's a mountain of humanity. That's the mountain that I told you, mountain of solution is a mountain of humanity. Amen. Because humanity is full of problems. So when you look at man and to think about the way to help man, you will need to raise a mountain for a man with the issues of his life. And that's the issue that will go through from beginning to the end. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, Jesus did not come first of all because of those problems. He came because of the problem of the fall of man, the problem of the declension of man that kept him in those regions where other problems have taken hold of his life. You understand what I'm saying? That was why he came. He came to raise man finally. He didn't just come because of me as individual. He came because of us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't come because of you as an individual. He came because of us. So if the same thing is doing for you, it's because he wants to do it for us. Amen. If it ends with you alone, then it's not useful. Because the problem is not your problem, it's our problem. So, when you pray for leaders, you are praying that they will allow us to live our life normally. Because they can put prayer on you so that all your life, you are trying to meet up with their demands. Praise God. We need to pray and we're going to pray much more in the days we are in for such government. Government that will not allow us to live in ungodliness, God will not allow them to attain the throne. If they're already there, they will come down. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I am saying today that godliness in a pursuit of life, godliness is very, very vital. Let me read to us again from the book of 1 Timothy, and let's see what Paul instructed there, advised there. We're starting that way this year because it's a major point we must attain this year. Amen? 1 Timothy 4. Let me read from verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressing that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Are you there? For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, why will Paul here, or the apostles, why would they distinguish between fables? Fables are carefully concocted thoughts that is not revealed. Praise God. About that are concocted and can be observed. You can stay and observe them. It could be cultural or traditional. Amen. Praise God. They are profane and they are old wives' fables. They are things that people speak about. He was pointing one example here about meat, eating meat. You know, in every system, people believe that some meat are pure and some are unclean. Are we right together, please? And the meaning is that when they say it's not pure, it means that they can defile you. Are we together? Huh? If you eat them, they are not helpful. Maybe it's snake or snail. Or what again? Pig or dog or big rat. Right? When you touch them or you eat them, they will not help your spiritual migration. They will make you weaker in the spirit. Right? Amen. And in some circles, they are well believed and they are well practiced. And maybe by observation, even if you eat them, they may know you have eaten something. If you go out of their midst and eat those things, they will know you have eaten them. When you come back, you want to contaminate them. Okay, you don't know those circles. I know those circles. If you go out and eat a kind of meat that they don't eat, if you come back in their midst, you don't know. Okay, have you seen white rats before? White rats, albino rats. If you know albino rats, if you take one of them out of their midst and you take it out for a week and you return it back, the rest of them will be cleaning up. Even if you take that one into a cleaner place, when it comes back, they will try to be cleaning up the body of that one. All of them will mount on that one, be cleaning the body. Why? They just know that you have taken it out of our community. And to them, their community is the only clean community. Anywhere out of that clean community is unclean. And when you are bringing it back, it needs to be cleansed. Now, if animals can do that, you wonder, animals, they will be cleaning up. When they are finished doing that one, they will be rejoicing with. They will be playing with and rejoicing. So there are sanctifications in various places. But that is not our sanctification. In their realm, it makes sense. Are we in the house, please? Sometimes when people say things, I will say, no. They feel, where are you coming from? Because everywhere it's been done. It made sense there. You could be aware of it, yet it does not make sense to you. Because it does not make sense to your spiritual reasoning. It does not make sense to the faith of God's elect. It does not make sense to the pursuit of eternal life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we don't do everything we do, not because we're trying to. No, no. We look at what can enjoy or encourage or influence our pursuit, propel it to eternal life. If you don't know what you're looking for, you don't know what you have found or what you have not found. Because you don't know what you're looking for. So anything you get makes sense in your head. Praise God. So, to these people, a lot of things to them means or spell out sanctification. Everything to them means you are holy. You can look holy and not really be holy when you are measured in the pathway of eternal life. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are religions that have lots of discipline and training and all of that. Not because they are aiming towards eternal life. They just want to aim towards a mastery on earth here for certain influences. You understand what I'm saying? Those who worship Satan, they fast more. The fast you cannot try, they go through it in order to get close to their father. Yeah, so it's not every fast that makes sense. It depends on what is your pursuit. Are we together? Somebody who can fast 100 days to get a car may not be able to fast one day for godliness. Yet he can have energy. He can have energy to fight witches for 3 months. He will fight witches hands down. So let us fast one day for this life. He can't fast it. But you have energy. Where is energy coming from? It's from your pursuit. What you are seeking gives you energy. Gives you energy. It's what you are looking for. So Paul was encouraging these people here that you understand that the reason why Jesus Christ came to you is for you to inherit this promise. So don't give it to all kinds of fables, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Oh my gosh. He was going to compare this godliness to body exercise. For bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So it means that when you are going through body exercise, you are expecting a result. Is that not true? You want to be bodily fit for the task of the earth. But that does not transcend the body. It does not transcend the earth. It does not transcend this present world. Are we in the house, please? It does not transcend the things that you presently see. You gain mastery, but it does not leave you. But it stays with you. Whatever you master by exercise stays with you. Is that not? If you jog over some years and embrace jogging, you will acquire the masteries of health through your muscles. It doesn't go away one time. Is that not true? I learned of recent time that some things you can take some hours. So you want to lose weight. The weight you gain in 20 years. You want to lose the weight in one day. That system that can make you lose the weight in one day is a killer. It's a killer system. Because I went in the house. What you gain in 20 years, anything that is alive, should not make you lose it in one day. You gain the weight in 20 years. Now they say if you take this abbas in 3 days, see this person is 120 pounds. After 3 days, became 65 pounds. If it exists, it's a killer. Because you put it out by a habit. You should live, you also lose it by habit. So exercise helps you to burn it gradually and replace it with healthy muscles. Because that you are doing, you are building up a lifestyle. That lifestyle, the one that you help you to use drug to lose the weight within 3 days, has not changed your habit. Your taste for chocolate is still intact. Amen. Your craze for meat is still very, very intact. All the things that built the weight is still there. It's a matter of months. You are coming out to where you left. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we in the house together, please? So, why is Paul connecting these matters to godliness? Because godliness is a state in our movement where godly characters are entrenched in your soul. It's not on your head. It's not a lifestyle of your soul. It's a lifestyle of your soul. You will see that each time he wants to mention godliness, he will mention patience before godliness. Because to attend to godliness, you need time. So those who are hasty can get to godliness. So it don't give you a result immediately. It won't give you your pay immediately. You won't get it that fast. We're in a world where every problem is asking for immediate answer. Everything is asking, solve me now. Solve me now. Solve me now. And all we are learning of God can become a tool to solve me now. Solve me now. Are you not saying thing now? What are you saying now? What do we do now? Everything is esty, now. Wait, Lua, see if it's not done now, it won't be done ever. Hell has opened its mouth. Why? To ensure that it can swallow as many as possible. As many as is possible. It does not want anything to remain. So, you can be learning God's word. If you don't race towards godliness, you can lose it. Yeah. If you don't race towards godliness, you can lose it. It can hijack it because it's not yet your own. It's not yet a character. Character. It's not just about keeping quiet. When I say he has a godly character, what is a quiet person? Say he's a godly man. Amen. No, who's a godly man? A person who does not hurt anybody. That man, he doesn't hurt anybody. He just goes gently in this place. Man is a godly man. In fact, many unbelievers are qualified to be a godly man. He's a godly man. He doesn't touch anybody. If I want to leave his house, this one is going out on the way. He doesn't touch anybody. Anyway, he sees you, he just greet anybody. In fact, many times just with a bowing head. And that's the, amen. Those godliness cannot lead to eternal life. So it's not a posture thing. It's a soul thing. Saint Paul said, Jesus said, in patience, possess ye your souls. In patience, it takes time for the soul. Many things we think is inside of us is not really there. Are we in the house, please? Many things we think are inside us are not, they are still upward. They have not sunk down. That's why under prayer, when they squeeze a little bit, they will pray. When they squeeze it, they squeeze out all that looks really there within a second. Because many things have not sunk deep there. They have not sunk deep there. Why have they not sunk deep there? Because all we have done in our lives has been immediate result. To train you for godliness, they will need to take you through the school of patience. It means you are asking for a thing now and they will not do it now. Not because they cannot do it now. They want you to learn to pray on, to trust in the living God. You must learn to trust that in everything that happens to your life, there is the living God. God is living, God is not dead, and God is not limited in spite of your situations. So how does this look like? When you pray and you fast, and what you pray for is not coming to real visibility. How does it look like? Huh? Sometimes when you pray and you fast, and on the seventh day of the fast, something just happened. Don't you like that kind of fasting? Don't you like to repeat that kind of fasting? But if they say next time, let's take 21 days. Or 21 days. What is that? 21 days. Only 21 days. This will look so small in your hand. It's not because you love God. It's because you want the result. Hmm? 21 days is a small thing. And why are you not really encouraged for 21 days? Now, because the one you have done on 7 days is similar to be high. I went in the house, please. Oh, my pay. It's your job, you want. Alright, and what I say is not simple fasting and praying. Say, let me fast and pray on my own. You can't hold this. You don't know the kind of fasting. It's not like your kind of fasting. Amen. But you have been fasting since you were born again. You have been fasting. Is that not true? So when you come to a situation, that is not your kind of, it's not the born again kind of fasting. So tell me, what kind of fasting? What's the alternative kind of fasting that is different from the new bad fasting? Are we in the house together, please? It's because it's the fasting out of the syllabus. Amen. Are we in the house, please? You know extracurricular fasting. And I tell you that a lot of extracurricular fasting. And once you begin extracurricular fasting, it's not going to stop. You're going to be a new curriculum of your life. I went in the house, please. Because it's a bet. You are only betted from life. There are many of God's servants that have been betted from life now who can't come back anymore. Because coming back, the discipline, you can't cope with the discipline anymore. In the past, you were going to endure easily until you endurance is simple. But it's no more simple once you taste the other side. Patience was simple. It's no more going to be simple. It's not going to be simple. You now know that, when they taught me patience, it was not easy. It was grace that taught me patience. You just thought, all this time of patience, somewhere there, I just know that I've come to be patient. No, you have not been tried. When you are tried, you will know if you can be patient. I went there. I like the prayer you raised tonight about Saul. That's very, very serious. That the seventh day, but it was not at the end of 7 days. It was 7 days, but not at the end of 7 days. So if they say 7 days, they're still the end of the 7th day. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, exercise yourself rather unto godliness. Make sure that godliness becomes a major exercise you will attain. For bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having, can you see with me? Can you read with me that place? Having what? Promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there must be godly exercise. It means we are not going to give up until we know we have mastered it. Not when we think we have mastered it, when they know that we have mastered it. Because sometimes we think we have mastered a thing, But they can't still prove that we have mastered it. No matter how you score yourself, you can at least score yourself zero. When they score you, say, let me have my paper back. What they mark there, they score zero. You wrote your all. All you wrote is not in the marking scheme. That's why anytime you score very bad mark, you say they gave me. They say, come. You say, you just called the lecturer by name. All about they gave me. That's the way we are. But when you have it right, say, yeah, I got it. That's where we are. That's why they will never allow us to make our papers ourselves. So we'll make alternative marking scheme. If we can make 10, we'll make 10 or 50 alternatives. If not this one, all this. Question 1A, or. And any way you take is the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. But this year, it's not going to be just any way we take. It's going to be the right way we take. Yeah, that's this year. God is going to take help our heart to go through the right way. So we can make real progress and, disappoint the enemy on many grounds. You know, the devil is happy because he seems to know what man is. I know that what you are prescribing for man, do you think can go through this path? But through grace, we will go through safely. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together here? Okay, let's go a little bit more today. Chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Verse 3 says, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So you can see that this issue is a major issue on the heart of the apostles. You see that? It's a major issue on their heart because they know the path to life. Life can't rest upon a soul that has not been approved in godliness. I say again that they are not cry a soul with life if he has not been approved or been commended. Because for Jesus Christ had commendation both in the spirit world and the angelic world. As a show that it's not just a concord being that fell from a world. Like, is it Paul who was describing, talking about Diana? Is it Diana? Said the spirit that fell from Jupiter. Is it? Sometimes spirit can fall from Jupiter. You know what I'm saying? Amen. From another planet that fall upon our world. And it will be magnified as a very massive being. And they can build a shrine for that being that we ought to worship. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And when you worship that being, you see things happening. Like Ephesus, like Diana was exalted in Ephesus. And the whole of the economy of Ephesus was built around Diana. Things were, the city was prospering. God of a fallen spirit. So God has to prove that this Jesus is not a fallen spirit. It's a spirit and I rest. I rest him among you. I rest him among men. He of the seed of men. In the word of men, I rest a man. I rest him fully to inherit me. Because the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. And this godliness is demystified. God was manifest in the flesh. Can you see that? Beautiful, justified in the spirit. He's justified in the spirit. And when you look at him in the spirit, it's according to divine order. The tablet of this building is exact. Hallelujah. That's why he can give us today the tablet. Why? It's justified. It's correct. This tablet, this mold is correct. What do I say? That's what they are saying to us. This mold is correct. Sin of angels accepted as correct before it's preached to the Gentiles. So what is being preached to you is not a concord thought. It's a proved life. So this year, you are going to pray not only for an immediate result, but what it pertains to your soul inheritance. Amen. You know, yes, it was in Accra. I was teaching over the week. That Sunday. And I said, do you know that praying the Spirit, it made sense at the time when they told us, when you pray in the Spirit, your enemy is confused. Amen. When we speak in tongues, Satan is confused forever and ever. We won't change that beautiful song like it's like a second stanza. Amen, amen. We bind the devil. We lose the power in this place. We speak in tongues. Satan is confused. So we are more excited when Satan is confused. We are not excited when we are built up. What did I say? We are excited when Satan is confused. We are not excited when we are built up. We say building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying the Holy Ghost. For godliness, you will need to master the continuity of the action. Praying, fasting, learning, studying. Not for the immediate result, for what you will become in Christ Jesus. Lift up your hands to God and bless the Lord this evening. Give Him glory and honor. Exalt Him. Lord, we thank You. We give praise to You. We give praise to You. We bless Your name, Jesus. We worship You. Lord, we worship You.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.